This is courtroom observer committee call on April 6th. So let's continue the conversation we were having. Mike and Terry, right? Was that who was on?
I think that's what he said.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I have my phone muted.
All right, thanks for a little pointer on this. So does anybody have any well, actually, what I would like to know, because Mike and I were talking earlier, did anybody listen to the sheriff's call on Thursday night? Anybody hear that?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this one person? Okay. Well, anyway, since it, maybe a bunch of you didn't, I just want to kind of reiterate. It was a fantastic call. Linda, the secretary, got on and said that in spite of Mac being poisoned by the common law, or about the common law grand jury, he actually couldn't get the head anymore because he's really busy. So he gave it to a family, a husband, a wife, and a son, and they have been in touch with NLA constantly, and they're totally get it, and they need us. And so Mac is going to have to start coming around. We're also in line with the militias have come to us, and then we're in line with Oath Keepers too. So we're getting way stronger with the different that already have groups, so pieces of the puzzle, and this is really exciting. Did I leave anything out? Anybody that heard it on Thursday night?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, this is New York Charles. Yeah, I was on the call on Thursday. I did hear Linda's conversation, and it was basically about the committee of safety that...
right, yes.
That is going to include the Oath Keepers, CSPOA, Sheriff Mack, and CSPOA. And you're right about Skylar and his wife with the administrators. Website, there's staff, probably volunteer, but staff. They are reaching out to NLA to grow the relationship, and this Saturday will be the first committee of safety meeting Saturday at noon Eastern time on this same call-in room. So everybody should be there. It's just going to be going to another level, a new level. Because we finally were able to, make the connection with these actually long-existing relationships, take it to another level at least.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. Everybody
right,
should
and
be.
So they're going to tell us, they're going to show us. We're going to each state is going to have a website for the Committee of Safety, too, and they're going to have us what to put on it. There's already some good examples out there, but we'll be probably talking about that, too. And unfortunately,
that's
I can't come on Saturday. I've got a booth at a health fair, and I can't just,
I mean, if you can't get to the computer, you can get in on the call. I'm actually driving right now, and I just plugged in earphones, and I'm on the call. But anyway, and there's a lot of traffic, big trucks driving by. Anyway, this Saturday at noon.
Does anybody know how to get the recording for that meeting? I listened to part of it, but I couldn't get the whole thing.
Oh, on the
sheriff's meeting.
It should be, I haven't looked it up, but it's archived on the sheriff's the sheriff committee
tab.
Yeah, but it's possible. I mean, if you don't see it, it's because Carl hasn't put it up yet. But
it definitely is there. Yes, definitely.
Oh,
is there.
Okay, great. Yes, you definitely want to listen to that call.
March 31st call.
Yeah. Does anybody have any cases they want to talk about or any experiences as a courtroom observer?
There's not this in there. They have two different voices they carry it in there.
No, it ain't. They had one.
They had one?
Who's that? Okay, so does anybody have any? Nobody has any yet? Cases?
Not yet.
Okay.
I can say a little bit.
Okay.
This is Terry from Colorado, and I had a guy call me, and he was going into a preliminary trial, a preliminary hearing the next day. And he gave me the time, and I went, but he didn't show. And come to find out, he bypassed the trial and went directly to the clerk and managed to get his complaint, and that counted, and we didn't up with each other. But I sat there and copied all of the cases that were going by just for practice. And it's amazing how much it's a cookie cutter thing. And they just run right off and, you know, set everything up and then just tell people, okay, well, this is what I decided to do next. So everybody got about 3 minutes max to do everything, read them their rights and read them the charges, and then have the judge decide. And then next one, they went through 30 cases in about an hour and a half. So
really?
That was just experience taking down everything in practice. So there you are. That's all.
Oh, interesting. So you missed it because that it was only 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, we didn't see each other and we didn't know who the other was, and so I wasn't going to approach anybody, and he wasn't either, I guess, and so he didn't ask me, and so we didn't see each other.
But did you talk beforehand? You did.
Well, we talked on the phone the night before.
Okay. So you didn't wear a red carnation or anything?
No, I didn't do any of that. But I was there and, you know, just watching and taking notes.
Okay.
And then they would set an arraignment for later that afternoon or the next Friday or the next Monday.
Mm-hmm. So he has to go back.
Yeah, he has to go back, but his is, what, May 9th. I called him later and got all the poop on it.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Thank you. So have you had experience filling out an affidavit yet?
No, I have not.
It's not that hard, but I've noticed that, I mean, this is a little bit a different subject, but I'm noticing, I had to dispute my credit card, a charge on my card, and I had to change the card. And so in order for me to dispute it, they sent me an affidavit form, which I've never seen before, you know, and it's all the same. I've never had to, if I had to dispute something, I never had to fill out an affidavit. So it sounds like everybody's using them now.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that. Okay, I'll back out and let somebody else talk.
Okay. Anybody else? Nobody? All right, well, I hope everybody's going to get on the district leader call tonight, because I think that's going to be interesting, and that's going to be a little over half an hour from now. So if nobody has anything else to bring up, what?
Well, I got a situation coming up, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to work myself into it. I got a phone call the other day, and a fellow in our group, his name is George, he's from Silver Creek area, and a friend of his son was on his way to work, and he just started driving, and it had snowed the night before really bad, and he was going to work, and there was a snowplow coming towards him, a county snowplow truck, and he kind of, I don't know if he panicked or if the snow, I don't know, I gave him a whole bunch of different things to check before we get into this, because the snowplow might have came over into his lane because of a guardrail or something of that nature. But anyway, the kid ended up, he bumped the snowplow and bent the snowplow blade on the driver's side, and it hit his quarter panel and did some damage to his truck.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into the ditch, and they called the police, and the police came, and they filled out a report and everything. And the roads were slippery. They were all full of snow, and the snow was blowing, and it was just a nasty day. Well, the officer gave him a citation, gave the kid a citation. Why, I don't know. He wasn't drunk, or he wasn't driving recklessly or anything like that. So he wanted my input on it, and I gave him a whole bunch of different scenarios and different ideas. But I told him the first thing the kid is going to have to do is to file an affidavit on the thing.
Right.
And if possible, the snowplow came over into his lane and scared him. Well, it kind of falls under, I believe, under an act of God in a way, because the snow came from God, and he was not in control. And it appears as though that the snowplow guy may be in part of the problem as well, because they don't have... They took away a snowplow driver. In other words, snowplows used to have two people in them,
mm-hmm.
one for the wing, and one for the driver.
Right.
Well, they took away the wingman, so that the snowplow driver has to take care of the wing plus watch the road, and he's got to do everything by himself.
Right.
So maybe the split second where he looked over to see if the wing was okay, he may have just, inadvertently gone over to the other lane. So there's a lot of variables, and we're trying to figure out how we can get this kid off so that he doesn't have to have his insurance go up, because he just started driving and it wasn't something like he did intentionally. So I'm trying to work with them on that, and I gave them an idea to go over and take pictures of the place where it happened, take pictures of the snowplow, go talk to the supervisor. Maybe the guy at the supervisor might say, oh, it's no big deal, we can just hammer it out. It's just a real small dent on there, and it doesn't even matter. He might
right.
even just say, well, we're going to retire the truck at the end of the season anyway and get a different one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different things that might come into play here.
Mm-hmm. And, now, how much is the ticket?
Pardon me?
How much is the ticket?
I don't know how much it is. I'm not even sure exactly what it's for. It's probably for not having your vehicle under control or failure to keep right or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. But either way, the kid shouldn't be given a ticket. If it's an insurance deal, the insurance take care of it. No big deal. Nobody was hurt. And
they just figure out any way they can write a ticket. I mean, can you imagine? I was just, when you were explaining, and I'm thinking about, we're there's pileups all over the place because of the snow, and people are sliding into each other, and some, I can't imagine some cop trying to hand everybody tickets.
Right, right.
And
it's
so,
just, if I bump your car, I give you my insurance information, you give me yours, and I contact mine, and you contact yours, and give them, my information, and they settle it. They take care of it. No big deal. Nobody's hurt, And then the cop, here's another deal, too. The cop called a tow truck to come and get this kid's car.
Yeah.
And the kid drove it away. So I said to George, I says, maybe the cop's going to try to nail this kid for the cost of the snowplow. Now, the kid never called him. The cop did.
Oh, I see.
I said, and now he's going to have another situation where he's not responsible because he didn't call them. It's up to the cop to pay the bill then.
Mm-hmm. So would you live near, you're around that area, so you could go to court with him?
Yes. I told George, I says, I want to go to court with him when he goes. And I said, I want to get together with him before he goes to court. And he was going to get back with me and get me the information on the citation and the dates and so forth. And I want to get together with him and have him file an affidavit in his defense beforehand, and if nothing else, to file a counterclaim against him. Maybe he should file a counterclaim against the tow truck driver, the snowplow driver.
What state is this?
New York.
Oh, it's New York. Okay. because there is a few incidences. Oh, this is really awful. I guess I read an article that most of the people, a lot of people in prison don't even have any charges against them. It's really like a whole bunch of Guantanamos. And,
exactly.
And some people are in there from a car, like a car accident where there wasn't any other injured party. Actually, the people they arrested probably had a concussion, and they just put them in jail.
Right. I remember there was that one kid up in Massachusetts, wasn't it? Or New Hampshire?
And they just went and grabbed him. His mother's been trying to get him out. And plus, they're treating the prisoners so bad. They, like, run the sewer back up through their drains. I mean, it's just really, really bad.
I know. I spent my time in jails. Not prison, but jails. I know what it's like.
And so, I'm just asking to be a little, just careful so that, you know, you can see if they're going to try to, I mean, really, if they know you have support and there's witnesses, there's a lot more
caution on their part.
There's safety and caution on their part for doing anything. But I just think young people are really vulnerable to them just grabbing them and telling them a bunch of crap.
Yes.
You know, to do this or that or, you know, plea for something they didn't do. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, I want to make a suggestion here. I used to coach Little League Baseball, and I used to take kids that never held a glove, never held a bat, didn't know how to catch a ball or throw a ball. And I would take those 14 kids, and I would turn them into a baseball team, and they won the championship. Now, if I could do that, and that can be done with kids that have no experience whatsoever, there's no reason why you couldn't take the same amount of kids from school and start classes where these kids start being taught and have constitutional law and to know their rights and how to defend their rights.
That's right. Hey, we'll support that if you want to do that. That's a great idea.
And I think that would really go over well. And, you know, like for a couple hours, one night a week, you know, get the kids together and start teaching them. But I don't know how to go about setting something like that up.
Well, I would say, you could even just use the YouTube videos of Bill Thornton, have the room set up where you just got the space, and you use his material or the material that we have, or just have them have a space where they can actually go through the whole civics course and the constitutional course.
Hello, right. Hello. Can I speak for a moment? This is Curtis from Virginia.
Hey, Curtis.
Please.
Yeah, I've been listening. I've been trying to talk, but I had myself muted.
Oh.
And
well,
my
that's
wife
couldn't hear,
said,
you
yeah,
that's yeah, hear you.
Yeah, and I was getting agitated, but my wife finally said, "Well, won't you unmute yourself, stupid?" and I said, "Okay," because we're on the highway. I'm not at home, so I'm on my cell phone. But and I don't have my teeth in my mouth, so it sounds funny when I talk, so forgive me for that. But the problem you're doing right now, the issue you're talking about as far as the school goes, the America, you know, the guy that writes the constitutions, the NCCS, I think it's called, Skouskins, the ones that writes the 5,000-year league.
Yeah.
Cleon Skouskins. He wrote that and started the publications of the Constitution, NCCS. He's also involved in the, what they call landmark court cases that are coming out on CNN. Are you guys, on the C-SPAN channel? Or is anybody aware of that?
No.
No.
All the landmark cases, everything that we've been dealing with, all the cases have been coming out on C-SPAN. You can record those. I've been doing it. And then I copy them on my cell phone, you know, with the parts that I want. Kind of go, hey, right here, I got it, C-SPAN. This is the attorney. The Bush's solicitor general, law professors from Yale and so forth. They're going through all of this stuff. And these things are like 4 hours long on each one of these cases.
Wow.
I mean, all the major court cases have been coming out on TV. I've been watching them for a week. So look it up. It's on C-SPAN. Go to C-SPAN and look through the C-SPAN channels because these cases are all also listed in a book, and I think you can buy the DVD that's being shown on, of course, you have to pay the C-SPAN. But go to cspan.org, and Landmark Cases, you can buy the book of all these cases that summarizes them. Plus, you can get the video, most likely, unless if you have the ability to record them like I've been doing. Really nice, because then I copy it on my phone, whatever part I want, and I go, look, see? It didn't come from me. See, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. That's one thing. But Skousen, the same guy, Cleon Skousen, who wrote the America, my Tea Party's been showing the production. You can download the educational courts, guess what, for students. We're holding our second class this Saturday. Based off of that, you can download the video right to the download it right to your computer and play it right on the TV. And then you can also download the printed, you can download and print for free the course material so they can mark it and follow along in their course material and have a workbook with the ticket answer and put the correct answers in.
Wow.
And, of course, correct answers are in the back of the workbook. So if you're wanting to teach it, just use that. It's called America something, I think. I could tell you if I was sitting at home because I've got the booklet sitting on my desk that was printed out by my Tea Party. Because they've been trying to prove to me, because I'm an MLA guy, they're trying to prove to me that I'm exaggerating or extreme right. And the thing is these court cases that they're teaching are just proving that I am right. And they don't know what to say. They're looking at each other like, duh. Because, you know, I'm right. It's I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the court cases. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do they have archives of that?
Well, you can download the video and the course material right off of the NCCS website.
Okay.
It's all free. There's no charge. And we've given the first part of that of this booklet and the test. It's 4 hours each, 2 4-hour sections, total 8. The first one is in the making of America. How, you know, the history. It's going into the history of the founders, the war. All of that. That's the first 4 hours. This weekend, it goes into the Constitution, and they're going to teach the Constitution. But you could also download that stuff off of C-SPAN, which is the participant, is the NCCS, the same Skousen organization that Skousen, Cleon Skousen started. And you can download those court cases by the book that was written by another man that goes over those cases. So here's four things. Half of it is free. Three-fourths of it's free if you just watch it and record it off of C-SPAN.
Yeah, but if you have court cases, they don't work in municipal courts where you go for tickets. They do not work.
But the problem is you don't want to go to those courts.
Yeah, we don't. We want to go take it to the federal court. That's what I was going to tell this guy that got a ticket. Because
well,
the
first thing you got to do is teach the kids have to know, because see they're giving these officers false information. See, the officer understands it. See, what the officer's trained to do is look, by signing this ticket, you don't admit to guilt. But you say, well, officer, how many times have you done that? Well, I do it every day. But have you ever told the people the reason for signing that ticket? And he says, what do you mean? And you say, well, the reason for signing that ticket is to admit to the jurisdiction. It's a corporation operating under profit, and I don't want to participate. You need my consent. I don't give it. I'm not signing your ticket. And he says, well, if he's insistent, you say, well, look, if I don't sign your ticket, what are you going to do? He's going to say, well, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to take you to jail, and then I'm going to haul your property off. I say, well, this is how I've gotten out of every one of them. This is what I say, word for word. I say, well, so let me make sure I understand you perfectly clear. What you're wanting to do is kidnap me. If I don't sign your ticket, you're going to kidnap me. You're going to hold ransom on me, and you're going to steal my property. Is that about signing up? And I say, I want to make sure because I'm recording this, or I'm going to write this down. Is that about summing it up? Well, he's already signed a ticket. Well, but he signed it under duress. And that's all he's got to know. See, if you're giving him a hard time before you sign the ticket and you don't sign the ticket, if you do sign the ticket, you don't really sign it. You just put on the, under threat of use of force against my will and under duress. Or you could say that UCC 308 thing, but that's if you're a U.S. citizen, which you're really none of that either. But you can avoid all of that by just telling if you're going to deprive me of my rights, you know, you don't have no cause, so why did you stop me in the first place? You know, but if it's an accident report, usually what these cops do when they're trying to catch all young guys is they have a catch-all ticket. It's called speed not reasonable imprudent, or just plain speed imprudent, or imprudent driving. Imprudent is a wide, broad sort of thing. It could mean anything. So I heard you say something earlier about photographing the accident in the area, and I would suggest you do that immediately. Photograph everything, write it on a piece of paper, and describe exactly on that paper what was happening as it went, plus your photographs. And that way you got something physical evidence that you can show. All right? And that protects you because they're going to file a claim. They're going to say, well, you owe us, you injured us. Because if he dodged over into a lane he shouldn't have been, if there was no cars up there, a policeman up ahead giving a warning that you were, that he was going to come on to your side of the road, then he was the one that was imprudent because he's the one that trespassed on your side of the lane.
Right.
He forced you off the road. I had no choice.
In this case, there was no lines on the road. It's a country road, and it's one of those roads where there's no lines on it.
Well, but still, it's imaginary. If you can't see it, it's imaginary. There's an imaginary line going down that road. My side doesn't mean he can take it out of the middle.
Right, right.
He can't take his half out of the middle of that country road, because I live in that right now. I deal with that every day. He can't take his half out of the middle. And if he was, if you can show in the video that he was clearly off his half and onto your half, and you had nowhere to go, well, then he's at fault.
Exactly.
And the only thing, all they can do is argue his speed wasn't reasonable for and imprudent due to the conditions, and that covers a wide range of stuff. Too much snow, too much ice, too much rain, too much wind, too much of whatever. You know, too much visibility. We had too much visibility. That's imprudent because you were driving speed not reasonable and imprudent. The imprudent thing is a broad, it's not definitive. It's broad. And I would think that would be easy to get dropped. The fact that he, you know, crossed over, he actually trespassed on his half of the road, and he had nowhere to go.
Right.
Wasn't expected. So that, to me, is evidence that, you know, he was the one that was injured because the government has the obligation to make sure people are warned. And if they didn't have guards and signs warning that plows could be coming on across the road, then they're at fault because they didn't give ample warning and information to the public. The public
right.
can assume, hey, I have a right to drive this half of this road.
I agree with you. I agree. Well,
okay,
I'm a truck driver. I'm a truck
yeah.
driver, tractor-trailer driver for 33 years, and no matter what the situation was, it was always a truck driver's fault, even when you're in the right.
Yeah.
They always blame the truck
driver. I drive mobile offices. I haul super loads. I have the same situation. And, you know, the best thing to do is you can play games with them, and if you explain to them, well, you have no cause, why'd you stop me? Can I go now? And then you just climb up, look, I'm not required to answer any of your questions. Am I under arrest? Then can I go? And if I can't, you know, I don't cooperate. I'm not mean. I'm not rude. You know, I just don't cooperate. I give them a little bit of a hard time, and I try to educate them along the way. And I don't get no more tickets either. They let me go.
Right.
They always let me go. I don't get hassled no more. But, you know, DOT, they think they've got the authority to just violate your rights. And, you know, once you start explaining to the Constitution, you start bringing it. Look, here, if you're violating this, these are things you can't do. And here, you're plainly doing it. I said, you know, I think you're violating my Title 18 Section 242 here. Well, what is that? Well, that means you're depriving me of my rights. You pulled me over for no cause, for an inspection. I said, that's me. Inspection means you're wanting to search my vehicle. Now, for what? you know, but once you start quoting the law, they always come out tough and strong, like they got the authority, like they know the law. But when you stand up and you show you're not afraid of them, and you start quoting the law and the code and the things they don't know, you say, hey, you ain't got this, you ain't got that. Then their attitude changes. They melt down and they're like, well, it's obvious you know something. I say, you better know I know it. I am the law. I know what the law is, and you're violating it, absolutely. And I said,
right.
I know you're just doing your job, but you're violating people's rights. Well, I've been doing this for 22 years. It is the law. I said, no, you've been violating people's rights for 22 years. And I said, but I know the law. And if you violate my rights, I'm going to bring you into my court. Yeah.
I bet they don't know the law. I bet they don't know the law because when you get them on the stand, a good way to beat a ticket is to ask the officer on the stand, did you file a verified criminal complaint, a verified complaint? And he'd say, yes, I did. And you ask him, you say, okay, the fail question, how many elements are there in a verified complaint? And the prosecutor always steps in and says, objection, objection, Your Honor. This man's not qualified to testify because he's not skilled in the law. Well,
yeah,
if he's not skilled
yeah.
in the law, how can he file a complaint if he doesn't know the elements to it?
He doesn't know the elements. And there's so many other things you can explain to him. You can tell him, look, you can't do this, and if you do, it's null and void. You understand that, don't you? Well, yeah. Well, I said, well, plainly, you pulled me over without cause. You don't have an affidavit. You caught me in no crime. I said, there's only three things that you got to do. You got to catch me in the middle of a crime. I didn't commit a crime. You just told me I didn't commit a crime. I said, but you have me at rest when you say it's the same time. You say I'm not at rest. Which is it? Either I'm at rest or I'm not. But you've got me at rest right now. But you say I'm not at rest. But I say I am. I said, and under that, I'm not required to tell you anymore. I need to be silent. So if I'm not telling you anything, how can you go any further? I said, besides, I said, what branch of the government are you with? Law enforcement? He goes, well, yeah, I'm law enforcement. I said, no, you're not. You're code enforcement. And I said, but under law enforcement, that's executive branch, isn't it? Well, yeah. Well, tell me, how can you authorize, how can you demand that I apply to a summons that you're writing? You're writing me a summons to appear in court. I say, isn't that judiciary? Doesn't the judge have to do that? Don't you understand that one branch of government can't delegate its authority to another? You can't delegate a delegated authority. I said, so how many crimes do you think you're committing here? I'm good. Gee, by the way, do you have any, do you have any jet skis? Well, what do you want to know jet skis? Because my kids want some jet skis. I just thought, man, you know, if you had some jet skis, you know, because you ain't got enough bond to cover the damages you're giving me here.
Right.
And that's kind of, anyway, I'm about to run out of signal here, but that's why I was speeding up on my truck.
Right.
I could have run out of signal. And I'm going to have to say that's it for me. I'll talk to y'all later. Good to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah. So, is anybody?
Well, here you are on the other one.
Does anybody have anything else, thing to add? Because we're getting ready to get on the.
I just want to make a quick comment. As far as education, obviously, Skousen is a great source, but. On the NLA website, under the education tab, there's a ton of education. But if you're teaching younger adults, I would recommend you just go through the Constitution course with them. Maybe get a new, create an email address just for that, and a membership just for that, or use your own if you haven't already completed the Constitution course. Also, obviously, the civics course is there. But that might be more adult teaching. But I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, excuse me. This is Lori. May I speak?
Hi, Lori. Yes.
Yes. Okay. What we did. I'm from Colorado. What we did when we were doing this, it was for senior high students. Is we contacted David Barton from Wall Builders, and we got some wonderful information. They do homeschool curriculum too, and in.